That's good to be with you, Jay, and look forward to answering any questions you have and providing insight regarding the most scientifically studied paranormal hotspot on the planet.
I understand, of course, this is a question you're going to be asked on pretty much every interview, but just so this can be a standalone podcast, can you provide us with some background on yourself and how your stewardship of the ranch actually came to be?
You bet. Quickly, and a lot of people have heard this recently on other interviews. I have lived my entire life, with the exception of 2 years in Hawaii, in Pleasant Grove, Utah. I built my career primarily here in the Intermountain West, and have focused since age 18 on commercial real estate, and am currently chairman of the Utah operation of Colliers International, which is the fastest growing commercial real estate firm on the planet. We have offices in 68 countries, 17,000 professionals, and the privilege of representing so many companies and institutions that shape our landscape. So I come from a very conventional business background, having never really delved into, the paranormal. In fact, I acquired the property as someone that was a healthy skeptic. I had never seen a UFO, a ghost, or anything of the sort. And, when I acquired the property from, elusive billionaire Robert Bigelow, Bigelow Aerospace, I intended to open a new chapter and bring a new level of scientific integrity and rigor to the investigation and efforts out at this most unique 512-acre piece of property. No offense to the previous ownership and the incredible scientists that had worked on the project and had visited the ranch in the past, but I was convinced that there was most likely a natural explanation for what had been reported for decades out there, and have found that it is actually not the case. There is no conventional explanation for so much of what we are recording, observing, and experiencing on a constant basis.
Now, if you had to explain to an individual who had never heard of the ranch, had never really done any sort of research into the phenomenon, into UFOs or the paranormal, how would you best describe Skinwalker Ranch to someone like this in order to give them a template for understanding your intense interest and stewardship and study of this particular location?
Well, it's a unique piece of property. This 512-acre piece of property situated in northeastern Utah is completely surrounded by Indian tribal lands. And it's as history goes, the property has a curse placed on it. There was a rift between the Navajo and the Ute tribes, and there is an element of superstition by many accounts associated with the property, but beyond that, the Uinta Basin has been a center of gravity for strange phenomena going back at least 100 years, if not millennia. I mean, we have newspaper reports and clippings going back to literally about 1900 that provides accounts, concerning the early settlers and residents and their encounters with the unknown. And so this property is unique in that a family that had acquired the property from previous ownership back in 1994 ended up having a multitude of experiences, everything from cattle mutilations that were constantly occurring in broad daylight on the property to UFO sightings to other strange activity that can only be described as poltergeist-like activity. And it was so intense that it captured the attention of journalists in Utah, and they came out and investigated and ended up doing a story in the Deseret News. Journalist Zach Van Eyck. That story was brought to the attention of one Robert Bigelow, who up until that time really had made his fortune in real estate development as the developer of the Budget Suites of America extended hotel chain nationally. But a lot of people also knew Mr. Bigelow as someone who was funding frontier scientific research and efforts delving into everything from the UFO phenomena to cattle mutilation reports and so on. And so Mr. Bigelow flew in on his private jet with his team of investigators with the National Institute of Discovery Science and was convinced that there was absolute legitimacy and validity to the claims being made by the Sherman family, this family who had acquired the property from the estate of the previous owners and found themselves swept up in a countless array of not only strange experiences, but disturbing events that really plagued their family and threatened the economic viability of their farm. And so Mr. Bigelow came in with his team of scientists, locked the property down in 1996 and proceeded to launch an unprecedented scientific investigation. By 2008, it had captured the attention of the United States government and became part of a Pentagon-funded black budget program that was largely initiated and supported by Senator Harry Reid and others. And that investigation continued until about 2013. At that time, it ceased. And a couple of years later, in 2015, I was introduced to Mr. Bigelow through, some science advisors that had worked with me on a technology venture over a decade ago. And, I quickly found myself thrust into the middle of this narrative and introduced to Mr. Bigelow and really discussing the potential acquisition of this property and really him passing the torch to me and my team in order to advance the investigation and open a whole new chapter regarding the scientific research and investigation out at Skinwalker Ranch. So I quickly installed my own security measures. We put in place everything from a military grade, gated entrance and guard shack to, dozens of surveillance cameras and other sensors and monitoring devices that continue to this day to be enhanced. I was very fortunate to bring on board my trusted physicist and principal investigator named Eric Bard. For anyone who's seen the investigative series on History Channel, they'll see Eric as someone who is very sober, very disciplined in the way that he approaches the scientific investigation. And I needed someone who was not only a skeptic and that would bring that skeptical eye and that discernment to the claims and the problem set, but someone who would, as my scientific partner, help establish the platforms that would enable us to advance the research like never before. And so in short, it's kind of a little bit of an overview regarding kind of my introduction to the ranch and really launching our phase of the investigation. And I think it's important to note that in addition to being the healthy skeptic, I went for 6 months without personally experiencing anything unknown or disturbing. I was flying in on my helicopter to inspect the property on a regular basis, month to month, and meeting with our newly constituted team. And it wasn't until about 6 months into our investigation and my stewardship that things really took a turn. And with multiple witnesses present and a host of data supporting, the events, we have really seen a whole new level of intensity and activity on the property that continues to this day.
Well, this is actually what I was going to get into real quick next, because like you said, you came into this as a skeptic and you hadn't had any experiences prior to owning it. So can you tell us what happened at this 6 month period and what effect it had on you going from a skeptic to an experiencer?
We hosted a visiting dignitary who brought his own security detail matched up with mine for just a day of exploration on the property. I visited with this individual and his team that morning and let them know that I had never seen anything myself that would constitute anything of a paranormal nature, and forewarned them that even though they were going to be visiting a very unique place with a very striking landscape and backdrop that, you know, that most likely they're just going to have a fun, interesting day of looking at an incredible landscape with old pioneer homesteads scattered throughout, and that I hope that it would end up being beneficial. This was the number one wish on this visiting dignitary's bucket list, if you will, to visit the infamous Skinwalker Ranch. He'd heard about the property for some time, and this individual, it's very credentialed, PhD, that brought a skill set and frankly a professional history that was impressive. So I was willing to engage and allow access at that time to he and his team, and you know, a number of events ensued from almost the moment they entered the property with our team, as witnessed by our team chief scientist and his security detail. Everything from smartphones malfunctioning right off the bat, and even being drained. I mean, I saw my own smartphone, my own iPhone, go from about 80% charge to zero in the course of about an hour on the property, which just baffled me. And I was joined by others. I mean, several others in our party experienced the same phenomena where their phones were completely drained, and we had to take them back to the command center, which is back next to the ranch house, to plug them in order to you know, have access for communication and for cameras. But in addition to that, you know, we had some acute medical episodes, as I kind of qualify them. You know, we had visitors that experienced everything from vertigo to missing time, to being literally immobilized by some unknown force during that day. And then, of course, that afternoon in broad daylight, I witnessed, with others sitting with me in, you know, in the UTV as we were traveling back to the homestead, the Homestead One, we witnessed what could only be described as a UFO craft right above the mesa, right in front of us. This was not just some blinking light way up in the sky, or something that was vague out in the distance. You know, this was a solid silver grayish disc that was about 40, 50 feet long that appeared right in front of us, hovering above the mesa, and proceeded over about a 20-second period to perform maneuvers that were just stunning. I mean, with split second speed would change position, both left, right, up, down, and then was gone in the blink of an eye, basically reduced to a dot. And was gone. And you know, with multiple witnesses there, you know, we were all stunned. It was something that was completely unexpected and has completely changed my worldview. People ask me all the time, are you a believer? Do you believe? And I have to honestly state, I don't believe, I know. I'm an experiencer. I know what I saw. And to have that sighting in broad daylight of an object, of a craft that really appeared to utilize propulsion physics that can't be explained by anything that we understand today. You know, that coupled with the electromagnetic anomalies, the acute medical episodes, and other strangeness of the day really combine as a compelling witness and compelling testimony to really the reality of what we're experiencing at Skinwalker Ranch. This is an interesting place. I don't know why this property seems to be the center of gravity for all sorts of strange phenomena, and why we're seeing, you know, this level of frequency and attention here. But it's continuing. It is continuing.
Well, as someone who's also an experiencer myself, I completely sympathize and understand your position of not believing but knowing. Would you agree with me that it's kind of a gift and a curse, because you've got this subjective evidence that you know that there's something more, but it's not so easy to provide that objective factual data for people who are still skeptics. So you do have these people who say constantly that there is nothing about this, there is no evidence of this, but you yourself have this genuine experience. I mean, how does that come across to you? Because it does feel like, to me, it's kind of a gift and a curse.
It sure is. You know, it was great. Ignorance is bliss,
right?
As they
right.
Say. And to have your entire paradigm shifted in a moment, and really your perspective regarding what is real,
mm-hmm.
and what is the nature of our world and our reality is something that that can easily be changed. And I find myself forever changed by the experience that we had on that fateful day and experiences that we've had since that time. I mean, we've collected more data and evidence regarding, the reality of the paranormal phenomena and also UFO, sightings than I think anywhere else on the planet.
There's not an easy way to segue into this one, but something I couldn't help but notice is that a few of the most prominent and successful proponents of study in relation to UFOs and other such phenomena are actually from the Mormon faith. You have yourself, of course, you've got Robert Bigelow, even Senator Harry Reid. And I can't help but wonder if there is any sort of connection between the UFO issue and some aspect of Mormonism.
Oh, That's a good question. Mr. Bigelow is not a member of the LDS Church. I don't believe.
Oh, is he not? Oh, okay. Someone told me that he was. My mistake.
No, I think he has relatives or ancestors that had been members of the faith, but Mr. Bigelow is not, and Senator Harry Reid is. I haven't had the privilege of meeting Senator Reid myself personally, but I know that he maintains a strong relationship with Mr. Bigelow. And, I have nothing but the highest respect and regard for Robert Bigelow. I consider him a hero, someone who has been very courageous in coming forward with not only their own personal experiences, but putting their money where their mouth is. There are very few business leaders who have had the courage or willingness to come forward with really their knowledge concerning these topics. And I have to applaud Robert Bigelow and his team for their efforts in the past. I mean, I shifted, of course, from being a healthy, open-minded skeptic to being an experiencer. And, now, look at the historical accounts relative to the ranch, with a whole new lens, having, experienced it myself and seen my team interact with these things and end up having really, really compelling experiences.
So would you say there is any palpable connection between the Mormon faith and the UFO issue, or is it just completely coincidental?
No, it's coincidental. It's I think one thing that is interesting about the Mormon faith and, being a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and being raised in that faith taught me that, that we're not alone in the universe. One of the core tenets is the fact that there are worlds without number and we're not alone. And also that there is a spirit world or spirit realm that lies in another dimension that is right alongside ours, that is just as real as our own mortal existence here. And I think the Mormon faith actually provides a very unique roadmap for understanding where we came from, where we came from, why we're here and where we're going and our place in the universe. And I think faith promoting or faith strengthening to see evidence of that manifest at Skinwalker Ranch.
Well, speaking of things that have manifested at the ranch, you've said yourself that the Skinwalker Ranch could be in some way responding to the emotional resonance of those visiting it. And I want to ask, if this is the case and the forces at play at the ranch are in some way reflecting the overall emotional wavelength and perception of those entering the ranch, almost as if it's mimicking their thoughts and feelings through various performances. Have you ever brought a deeply spiritual individual onto the ranch to engage with whatever forces are at play here? For example, like a yogi or a Buddhist monk meditating on the property, or anyone else that would resonate a peaceful, loving, positive attitude?
You bet. We've brought spiritual leaders onto the property. In fact, one of my priorities in taking over the stewardship of Skinwalker Ranch was to reach out to the Native American community and bring tribal elders and spiritual leaders on the property to consult with the team and to provide guidance and another dimension awareness to the investigation, to the problem set. You know, Larry Sespuch, who was featured on, you know, season one of the investigative series this last year, is a very respected spiritual leader. He's a Ute spiritual leader that, you know, brings a level of respect, of reverence, and spiritual awareness to the property. And, you know, I think in that spirit, we'll continue to engage with people that you know, may help us better understand what may be going on with the property. You know, I'm asked on a constant basis, you know, whether I believe it's extraterrestrial, you know, visitation that we're seeing, or interdimensional interactions, or whether it's spiritual, you know, angels and demons or spiritual phenomena. And, you know, the honest answer,
all of
is
them.
It, yeah, based on the data, the hard data and the observations, it appears that we're seeing and experiencing all of the above.
Well, that's actually what I was going to mention, that because, like, literally, just as you said, you agree that in terms of it being extraterrestrial and extra dimensional or spiritual in nature, you've answered yes to all of the above, which is something that I myself actually reflect and echo as well in relation to the wider discussion surrounding the UFO issue and other paranormal phenomena. I think we're very much dealing with a wide spectrum of intelligences from varying planes of existence, not all of which may reside within a physical realm such as ours. And so from an outside observation, I can see why you would attribute such a spectrum to the more localized but highly varied phenomena taking place at the ranch. But are you able to unpack your reasoning behind this? Is there any specific incidents that would make you go, yes, that's extraterrestrial, that's extra dimensional, that's spiritual? Can you unpack that at all for us?
Good question. Well, if we take, you know, just the events that have been presented on the series, you know, we've had UFO sightings over the ranch, of objects that are able to come and go, you know, that are able to shift position in just a split second. We've had, you know, electromagnetic phenomena that is constant on the property. I mean, there hasn't been one third party expert or engineer or consultant brought on the property to conduct research with the team that has not left scratching their heads, that has not left with something happening to their equipment or some anomaly occurring that they can't explain, never experienced before. I mean, it doesn't matter whether we're conducting, you know, ground penetrating radar studies, you know, resistivity studies, you know, instrumented rockets, balloons, you name it. It seems that events occur on a constant basis. And then you have some of the darker, you know, phenomena that occurs that appears to be more malevolent. I mean, we've had a number of our participants, our team, end up in the hospital with unexplained illness and injuries. Even members of the crew this last year that unfortunately ended up in the hospital and having some really negative things happen to them. And that underscores how serious this really is and how we need to be very cautious in the way that we approach this ranch and this investigation. This is not for the faint of heart. And there's a reason why we have everyone sign liability waivers. There's a reason why we have 24-hour security monitoring the property. And it's, you know, to not only protect the health and safety of those that are, you know, conducting the investigation, but also to you know, to put a blanket of protection over the area to a degree, and to hopefully avoid or help others avoid, you know, being, you know, unwitting victims of the phenomena.
Have you ever had individuals engage in like attempts to contact and communicate with the forces at play at the ranch via coherent protocols, like the utilization of coherent thought and intention in order to initiate a contact scenario with whatever intelligences are at play here?
Yes. Our team has, you know, with very scientific rigor and discipline, attempted to interact a little bit with what is present, you know, whether that be a precognitive sentient intelligence on the ranch or some other entity. And you know, we've seen some surprising results. We have not made those public as of yet, and that's probably going to be saved for the months ahead, for, you know, potentially a future season, as we're still pulling together the data documenting some of these efforts. But yes, the answer honestly is yes.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, something that you actually mentioned with Ryan Sprague from Somewhere in the Skies recently, but I'd like to talk about this portal phenomena. So for those that are unaware, back when Robert Bigelow owned the ranch and was operating research under the National Institute of Discovery Science, there was a reported incident, I believe it came from Dr. Eric W. Davis, of what can only be described as essentially a portal that opened up in the middle of the air. Some form of being was reported to have emerged from it. Now, you said that your team is absolutely looking into this phenomena and that you want to provide data for the potentiality of portals or stargates or wormholes, but have you actually had, or has your team had, any personal first-hand experiences with what could only be theorized as some sort of portal or wormhole?
Yes. Yes. And we look forward to presenting that that potential evidence. I mean, we're seeing things occur on the property that that appear to be related to portal phenomena. You know, we've had Dr. Eric Davis out to the property in the past under my watch, and you know, Dr. Davis actually showed the team where he and others had experienced the phenomena, where they had seen literally a portal open and you know, interactions occur. And what we've tried to do most recently is perform a number of tests in order to explore that, to see if there is something to those claims, you know, whether the space around the ranch is conditioned in such a way that would allow for that kind of activity to occur. So yeah, that is something that we're going to be delving into deeper and look forward to revealing some of the data. Is it absolutely conclusive? No, but it is it compelling? Yes. And I think it will definitely lend credibility to a lot of the accounts from the past.
In comparison to the previous owner of the ranch, Robert Bigelow, who with the creation of the National Institute of Discovery Science and the classification of their research primarily under the authority of the Department of Defense, they were unable to be overly transparent about their findings and overall research efforts. You have chosen a very different path in relation to the kind of ongoing work of your team, first of all, by refusing to align yourself with government programs relating to the ranch. But in regards to transparency, one of the obvious things to highlight is the fact that alongside the History Channel, you've created a TV series dedicated to showcasing the ongoing research efforts on the property. This series is called The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch, and you will soon be entering, as we've just been saying, the second season of this series. Are you happy with the way in which your work is being presented for the show, and do you feel the public response to the show has been overall positive?
Yeah, I'm very pleased overall with the efforts. It has been a great partnership with Prometheus and with History and A&E Network. And I believe that this has been a historic undertaking to be able to present, I think for the first time ever, the most compelling evidence that we are not alone, and that our reality is not what it may seem, is an incredible opportunity and privilege for all of us. I mean, season two will feature 10 new episodes. The first season of our investigation, or documenting our investigation, featured 8 episodes. There's several more that'll be coming starting May 4th. And I believe that the public will be very pleased with what we have to present in general. I've wanted to take a very transparent, collaborative approach to really the ranch, my stewardship, and the investigation. Also, I think it's important to note that we've brought together a multidisciplinary team of scientists, researchers, even third-party experts in order to better understand and document what is happening on this strange piece of property. And I'm not aware of another effort like this that has ever been televised or documented in this way. And, you know, I want everyone to know this is completely unscripted. No one has put notes in front of any of us. I mean, none of us, with the exception of Dr. Taylor, have ever been on television before or had any desire to be part of any type of televised effort. I frankly did not intend to ever go public with me being the owner of the property, and had always really planned on keeping that confidential. And it was only about a year ago that after 4 years of owning the property, that I was persuaded by the History Channel to reveal my identity and come forward as part of this investigation. People ask me all the time, why would you do that? What persuaded you to come forward? And, you know, it was really my production partner with History, you know, helping me understand that in order to honestly, truthfully, and transparently present the investigation at Skinwalker Ranch, it was necessary for me to step forward, or else the public would question the integrity of it all and the agenda, the motives behind this. I mean, this ranch, this investigation, to a degree, is a part of my spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And I find it to be the greatest science project of our time.
Well, in terms of a, you know, like a spiritual journey, I resonate with that as well, just on my own journey. I mean, the further down this road I've gone of studying paranormal phenomena as well as consciousness studies, some delving into quantum mechanics. I'm just a layman, but you know, have looked into that aspect as well. Yeah. And also having my own personal experiences with some form of phenomenon multiple times, it truly feels to me that the universe could be seen almost as a holographic projection of a single conscious energy, you know, of which we're simply expressional aspects of. That's kind of how I see it, that we as sentient, self-aware beings are merely kind of focalized or crystallized points of consciousness, points of expression, much like how a wave in the ocean is in reality the entire ocean expressing itself as a wave. You know, I do actually believe that we have physicalized in this realm for a physical experience. And when it comes down to what's happening at the ranch, it does seem like there's some form of what happens in life, a reflection of duality, you know, this kind of contrast of good and bad, light and dark. And it almost seems like the ranch could be looked at as an energetic vortex or vortices of dualistic phenomena.
Yeah, for whatever reason, the veil between this world and other worlds is thin in this place. And, you know, you look at the basin, you know, on a map on Google Earth, for example, and it's impossible to avoid the fact that it's centered right in, you know, the dead heart of the Uinta Basin. It is the dead center of this bowl that is either been naturally or unnaturally created, who knows, millions of years ago. But I think that, you know, when you look at the fact that we are one planet among billions, and every month there are new discoveries being brought forward relative to exoplanets, you know, planets that have been discovered that can support life. And you look at our progression and evolution as a species, as human beings, just in the course of 100 years, and you look at the probability out in the universe that not only we're not alone, but I think it's ignorance to think that we're that we're alone and that we are not being monitored in some way when you look at the data.
Something that one of my subscribers actually put down, because I saw you commented on it, so you know that I tweeted about the fact that I was going to be interviewing you and if anyone had any questions. And something someone said, basically everything on Earth requires phosphorus to live. It's a key component of the building blocks of biology on this planet. And the Uinta Basin in which Skinwalker is situated also happens to be an area that yields large deposits of uranium-bearing phosphates. Now, phosphorus is also extremely rare both here on Earth and also within the known universe, and so it may be a sought after element for other intelligences observing our planet. Do you believe, or have you been given any indication, there is any connection to this large deposit of phosphates around this area and some of the observed phenomena at the ranch?
To be determined. So that's something that we're looking into.
So you are considering it.
The geology, of course, and really seeking a natural prosaic explanation for what had been observed or at least claimed. You know, I thought that there was probably something unique to the geology that would be triggering a lot of the phenomena, you know, especially the luminous phenomena and some of the interactions that, you know, that people were experiencing, whether it be hallucinogenic in nature or whatever. But I that was something that we've really tried to tackle from the beginning. You know, I think, you know, one thing that we looked at in those initial months was the seismic activity in the basin and whether some of the luminous phenomena or the UFO activity could potentially be earthquake lights or triggered by virtue of you know, some of this seismic activity. And one of the interesting things that we found was that the ranch is very quiet and very dormant as it relates to seismic activity. Even when there is seismic activity in Utah and the surrounding area, the basin itself and this property seems to exhibit very little, if any, seismic activity. And I, you know, that's a data point that we're looking into. You know, what could be unique?
Yeah.
Relative to this property that distinguishes it from others, why are we seeing the frequency of activity and high strangeness on this property and not others?
Well, actually, that brings up another question. I myself am not familiar with this, but I had requests from listeners to ask if you were able to speak on an apparent location in Italy that is supposed to bear similarities to Skinwalker Ranch in relation to anomalous phenomena. And additionally, on the Skinwalker TV series, there is a map that can be seen with red lines that are apparently converging on Italy. Is that relevant at all?
You know, I'm not familiar with it, and I haven't been involved with those discussions, but it may be something, a topic that my science advisors have been looking to address, but I'm not really aware of the similarity or really up to speed on that.
Okay, no problem. Actually, one thing that you brought up recently was that you were called to Washington, D.C. to speak on your research efforts on the ranch. Is there any way that you could unpack this a little bit? Tell us something about the meeting. Who was there? What were the primary discussion topics? Were you instructed to do or not to do anything at the ranch from the people you met with?
So I'm not really at liberty to discuss who participated in that meeting. Other than members of our team, which included Eric Bard and Dr. Jim Segala. You know, the briefing was really an exchange, and the purpose was primarily to report on the results of our investigation and the data, the video, photographic evidence, the data behind the acute medical episodes occurring on the property and other high strangeness that we had been documenting under my stewardship. The one thing I found to be most interesting was the level of respect and the level of collaboration and open dialogue. I have nothing to hide. You know, one thing that people I think can attest to if they do any due diligence regarding me or our effort is the fact that we're transparent. We're engaged with the public. I'm not being secretive. I'm not hoarding the data. I believe that, my stewardship really calls for this to be a collaborative effort and one that will hopefully help, elevate and enlighten the discussion regarding these topics.
You call it a stewardship, and it's obvious that you've got a very deep respect for the actual location and the area, and obviously the level of research that you're doing. But do you have any regrets of getting involved in this?
Oh, good question. No.
No.
There are days. I mean, there are challenges, but and there are certain risks. I mean, one thing that that I find sobering is the harm that that has come to participants, to my partners in several cases. I don't take these matters lightly. That's one reason why we have engaged security professionals on a constant basis, and I have charged them with really the health and safety protocols I think necessary to I think protect the participants. But I mean, that's one thing that I that I'm concerned with is the fact that people have been to the hospital, that they've ended up being harmed as a result of their interaction with the ranch, their engagement with this investigation. But I think everyone goes in with their eyes wide open and acknowledges the risk. I mean, anytime we go out on the freeway, anytime we get up in the morning and go to work, we're taking certain risks in life. But I think this ranch calls for an added degree of safety and reverence.
Now, I wanted to bring this just away from the ranch for a moment and just into the general discussion of UFOs and UAP as it's emerging in the modern day discussion, because as someone who, like myself, believes that much of the highly sensitive UFO related data that has been gathered by numerous intelligence agencies over the course of seven decades or more is likely stored and stovepiped away into highly compartmentalized special access, unacknowledged, waived, carved out special access programs. What is your overall opinion of the current narrative being driven by former members of the US government bureaucracy and defense infrastructure? People like former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence Christopher Mellon and former ATIP Director Lou Elizondo, when they present the argument that the level of scrutiny on this subject or lack thereof by the US government until recently is primarily due to an incompetent communication infrastructure within the US government on this issue, primarily due to a stigmatic point of view on the subject of UFOs that's prevented meaningful research being conducted within the government. And the fact that the government is now taking this more seriously is primarily due to the evolution in sensor technologies and data gathering assets. Because to me, this indicates, to be honest, an obvious desire to remove culpability for decades of highly funded clandestine research efforts into the UFO issue and instead paint the government as overall incompetent and dominated by stigma, and due to this are only now catching up to the idea that this might be a real issue, separating themselves from culpability, removing themselves from the long history, focusing on modern day cases that do not go back really further than 2004. What is your opinion on this narrative when you yourself believe that there is in fact a concerted and long-standing effort to research this within the world of black special access programs?
I don't think there's incompetence. I think there has been a level of secrecy involved and a known disinformation campaign that has been going on for decades in order to marginalize and really dismiss any of the claims or the topics themselves. And I think, what Christopher Mellon and others have brought forward is the fact that it is a reality. There is absolute reality to the fact that our airspace is being violated by objects that come and go indiscriminately, that are very real, very tangible. We have fighter pilots, radar technicians, law enforcement that have all come forward on numerous occasions, with numerous accounts relative to the reality of the phenomenon. And I think now, the floodgates are getting ready to burst. We're seeing this era of unprecedented acknowledgement and disclosure. But to answer your question directly, I think a lot of the truth, or at least the hard evidence regarding these topics, is sequestered in special compartmentalized access programs. It's in private industry. It was shifted into the private sector a long time ago, since the 1940s. And if anyone thinks that, a FOIA request or the federal government is going to all of a sudden come clean or come forward with a mountain of evidence that has been protected and has been carefully sequestered into these programs for decades, I think they've got another thing coming. I think your best hope of bringing forward the data and the evidence regarding the nature of the phenomenon and the reality of it really lies in the private sector and efforts like ours. That's why I think that Skinwalker Ranch really presents the greatest, living laboratory environment for really being able to bring forward the evidence, not only regarding the UFO phenomena, but also a lot of these other potentially related topics that we're constantly investigating.
Do you think that you're ever going to figure out what's going on at Skinwalker Ranch?
I sure hope so. I want to get to the bottom of it. I want results. I want to ultimately learn the origin and agenda associated with the phenomena. And you have to start somewhere. I think it's a bold endeavor, but I think we've been able to demonstrate that we are trying to be equal to the task and bringing the resources and focus, I think, necessary in order to better document and understand what is happening.
Now, you've said before, and that most of your life, the vast majority of your life, is actually taken up by your business interests.
Right.
Have you had associates, clients, anyone within the kind of quote unquote normal aspects of your life approaching you and going, "Hey, Brandon, like, what is going on here? Tell me about this. I'm interested." Or has anyone told you about their own experiences?
Yeah, many. You'd be surprised at how many CEOs have reached out to me with their own experiences and have reached out and stated, whether picking up the phone and calling me or emailing me and saying, I've never gone public with my own experience, but I know that what you're experiencing and documenting is real. And here is my experience. And I've kept those confidential. I don't breach any confidences, but I have been pleasantly surprised at the support that has come forward. 95% of my time is focused on conventional business. It's on the commercial real estate market and really guiding, directing, development all over the Intermountain West and beyond. But, this is something that I think inspires a lot of people. I mean, the questions that we're asking in many cases have been asked since the beginning of time. Are we alone in the universe? What is the nature of our reality? What is the nature of our consciousness?
Yeah. If I was to say that I believe a symbiotic approach towards science and spirituality would likely bring forth a complete and total overhaul of the current scientific and theological models of reality and perhaps shift the collective consciousness of humanity towards more positive global changes, what would be your response to that?
I think that's a noble effort. I think anyone who is trying to advance understanding and do it in a way that is collaborative, I applaud their efforts. It's going to be interesting to see how things unfold, especially as we unveil kind of the events in season two of our investigation. Again, I don't think people really comprehend. I mean, we already brought forward 8 hours of documented research. I mean, the critics often say, well, you haven't brought forward anything new or compelling. And I have a hard time with that, because I believe that in the first 20 minutes of the first episode of our investigative series, we presented more data and more evidence than I had seen in 20 years regarding these topics. So I don't know if people have just become jaded, or what, but I think what we're presenting is really constituting the best evidence yet.
I think sometimes in specifically the UFO community, because I think the wider audience that is checking out the Skinwalker series is probably feeling the same as you. But within the UFO community, something that I've noticed myself as well, with things like the New York Times articles coming out and kind of people amping it up before it drops, and then when it arrives, people are disappointed or in some way disappointed. And I think it does come back to the oversaturation of data and theories and ideas and hypotheses within the UFO community. So I think that people sometimes need to take a step back from the very small niche of the UFO community and say, well, this is actually a conversation for the wider world, the wider global population to start to understand this. And I think that your series does a really good job of laying out that mystery and trying to figure out what's going on here. So, I really do, all power to you guys, and I'm very happy with what I've been seeing so far.
Oh, thank you. I mean, other nations have come forward in the past. France came forward years ago with their report, with their officials that came from their NASA equivalent that actually documented and reported on the reality of the phenomena, that they were monitoring, violations of their airspace and had data and photographic and videographic evidence. I think the United States has been unique up until recently in that there has been a constant denial since Project Blue Book, and again a marginalization of these topics. I mean, I don't think it's any coincidence that anytime a major news network reports on something of this nature in the past, they kind of poke fun at it, and you hear the X-Files, spooky music
It's starting to
starting
fade
in.
out now. They're starting to take it a little bit more seriously.
And I think that was all by design to a degree. I think if anyone doesn't think that we've been manipulated, that there hasn't been a disinformation campaign in order to hide what is really going on under our very noses, I think they're ignorant. Robert Bigelow, went forward just a couple of years ago on 60 Minutes. And I think he was very courageous in stating, unambiguously that this is real. And, that we don't need to travel to other worlds or other planets in order to verify this. I mean, that we're being visited here, that we're seeing evidence on a constant basis that we're not alone. And I have to applaud, his courage and efforts coming forward. I mean, I shared with you my own personal experience. I'm not going to take the leap to say that they're aliens, that they're little green men from Mars or other planets that are visiting us. It could be interdimensional phenomena. I mean, it could be time travelers for that matter. I don't know. What I do know is that what we have observed and what I've seen with my own eyes, with other witnesses standing with me, defies any conventional explanation, and it can't be attributed to some skunk works or covert aerospace program that anyone, at least within my circles, is aware of.
Well, I've had orange orbs of light come down from the sky and hover above the very roof of the house that I'm talking in right now, so I completely understand where you're coming from in that regard. This has been great. I've really enjoyed this, but we're probably going to have to wrap up now. Is there anything you want to say before we finish this off, Brandon?
No, I want to express my thanks to everyone who has been following our journey. I consider it a privilege to be able to interact with, sincere seekers, with researchers. I mean, I don't take lightly the fact that people are inviting us into their homes on a weekly basis with this series and opening their minds to the potential reality of these topics. I mean, these things can be scary. Let's be honest. This challenges a lot of the conventional wisdom or the conventional belief out there. And I think It's a little bit jarring to a lot of people to come to grips with, these things being real, and that we're not in control. And that's one thing that is really sobering. We aren't in control. Whatever we are monitoring and observing at Skinwalker Ranch is consistently one, two steps ahead of us. And that's why I think we have to always approach it with humility and approach this investigation with the right spirit. And so I appreciate everyone's support. I appreciate everyone following our journey, and look forward to continuing to engage the public and revealing the results of our investigation.